God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. I'm excited about today's very important broadcast as I continue with my series, Prayers That Resonate With God. We're going to be looking today at Moses' prayer when he said to the Father, "Show me thy glory." Stay tuned for this life-changing word.
Schneider is a voice crying out in our lost world, pointing mankind to Jesus today.
Shalom, I'm Cynthia, Rabbi Schneider's wife. Beloved, testimonies are coming in of God touching and transforming people's lives through this ministry. It's my prayer that today God will touch and transform your life as Rabbi Schneider teaches and preaches God's word.
God bless you and shalom, beloved ones. I'm excited today to examine one of the most famous prayers in the entire Bible when Moses prays to the Father, "Show me thy glory." We're in the midst of a series now called Prayers That Resonate With God. This is now the fourth part in the series. And the reason, friends, this is such an important series is because it shows us the hearts of those people that were walking in close intimacy with the Father, and how when they spoke to God, when they prayed to God, God heard their prayer and answered them. To me, this is so foundational to my walk with the Lord, because when I know that the things that I'm asking the Father for are things that He's happy that I'm asking Him for, things that He's going to answer because He's pleased that I'm asking Him for these things, it gives me great confidence in my prayers and that they're being answered. In other words, we know that some prayers please the Father more than other prayers. Think, for example, of Solomon. Remember when Solomon became king and the Lord said to Solomon, "Ask me what you will." And Solomon prayed for wisdom. And the Father responded to him, "Solomon, because you asked me for wisdom and not for riches and some of these other things, I'm so pleased with that that I'm going to give you wisdom unlike any wisdom anybody's ever known on the earth before." And the Lord said, "I'm going to give you everything else too." But the point is that God said to Solomon, "The thing that you asked me for, this prayer for wisdom, Solomon, it really pleased my heart. And it was so much more of an important matter to me that you asked me for that than it would have been if you would have asked me for riches and honor." And so there are some things that really resonate with God. And we want to find out what those things are. Because when we make first things first, and when we make important to ourselves the things that are important to God, and when we, beloved, ask God for those things first that are primarily important to Him, what's going to happen is we're going to move in deep power in the Spirit in our relationship with the Lord, and we're going to experience the fullness of abundant life that Jesus purchased for us by His own blood. So there's great value in examining the prayers that we find in the Bible from men and women that walk closely with God, seeing how God answered their prayers, and knowing then that those same types of things that they prayed for, we can pray for in our own lives, and it's going to change us in what we're experiencing in the dimension of the Spirit. Because prayer changes what you experience. This whole series is on prayer. Let me say to you that your prayer life will determine the spiritual atmosphere that you live in. In other words, you are responsible for determining the increase of the anointing that will surround your life. If you're passive and don't pray much, little is going to happen. That's why Jesus said, "You have not because you ask not." Jesus said, "Up until this time, you've asked me for nothing." But He said, "Ask that your joy may be made full." In other words, Jesus is saying, when you ask, when you focus on your prayer life with me, your joy is going to be made full. It's going to change your spiritual environment. It's going to change your experience. And so you are responsible in the Lord for determining the level of anointing that you're experiencing and walking in your life. And much of this determination of the spiritual atmosphere that surrounds you is determined by your prayer life. And so this is serious business for those of us that truly believe that we can lay a hold of everything that God has intended for us in Jesus. Last week I talked about Jacob and how Jacob got in a wrestling match with God and said to him, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. Jacob knew he could have the thing that God was in God to give him, but it took faith and a spiritual desperation to receive it. The same is true for you. So with that said, we're going to continue now, and we're going to look at one of the most famous prayers in the Hebrew Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verse number 12 and 13, and then number 15 and 16. Hear the word of God. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring them this people. But you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways, that I might know you, so that I might find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us, so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other people who are on the face of the earth? And then in verse 18, then Moses said, I pray you, show me your glory. So let's take this apart verse by verse here, because there are so many applications that can help us in our prayer life. First of all, who was Moses? Well, we know that Moses was the great deliverer of Israel, that God raised up Moses to be the deliverer that would lead Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land. We know Joshua actually was the one that brought them entrance, but Moses was the one that God used to lead them out of Egypt and right almost to the border. So Moses is one of the greatest figures in the entire Hebrew Bible. In fact, if you ask most Jewish people, who's the most outstanding figure in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible that we call the Tanakh, most of them will tell you Moses. Remember when Jesus appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with his three apostles? He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, with Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah are the two primary figures in the Hebrew Bible. God said about Moses that when he speaks to a prophet, the Lord said, he speaks in a vision or a dream. But the Lord said, not so about Moses. When I speak to Moses, the Lord said, I speak face to face, even as a man speaketh to a friend. I mean, you think about that intimate language. The Lord called Moses his friend. Moses, we call the one that God spoke to, get it now, face to face. The Lord also said about Moses that he was the humblest man on all the earth. So we need to take very seriously the walk that Moses had with God. We want to see what was in Moses' heart. We want to see what was it that Moses desired from God. What was it that Moses prayed for? Because Moses is one of the most outstanding figures in the entire Word of God. And by studying him and by emulating him, it's going to help us, beloved, to go deeper in our experience, in our communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's continue on now that we have that brief introduction as to who Moses was. Moses says to the Lord there, you have commissioned me to bring this people out of Egypt. Listen to verse number 12. Then Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you yourself have not let me know whom you will send with me. Moreover, you have said, I have known you by name, and you have found favor in my sight. I just want to consider these two phrases that Moses said to the Lord. He said to the Lord, Lord, you said to me that you know me by name, and you said to me that I have found favor in your sight. I just want to stress those two concepts to you for a second. Because if we're going to move mountains in our prayer life with God, we have to be convinced, first of all, beloved, that He knows us. You have to be convinced that God knows you, that He loves you, and that His favor is on you. Moses said, you have said to me, I have known you by name.
Rabbi Schneider is a minister of the gospel and actually a prophet of God. He can do the work of God and make a big impact in any area he goes. He will bless all the Africa, and the people that are released from the bondage of Satan, they'll also be releasing other people. I have never seen such a big crusade in my years that I know Rombo. Rabbi, he has been teaching about the real love of God for the people. I cannot explain my thank and my gratitude for him. It is the very special connection from God that is going to continue, for we are going to welcome him for many times and make him come again and again and again and again and again.
Shalom, beloved one. I hope you can see that I really am reaching the world through on-the-ground mission crusades like you just saw through television and radio, and without your support, I can't do it. In Romans chapter 10 says, how blessed are the feet of those that carry glad tidings of good news, meaning those that preach the gospel. But he says, how can they do it unless they're sent? Beloved, I want to ask you today, will you partner with God by sending me? You'll share in the reward for the souls that are being saved through this ministry. God bless you. Thank you. And shalom.
Now, back to today's program.
Did you know that Jesus said about you that the number of hairs on your head are numbered? Jesus said that God knows you and I, get this now, by name. David said that while we were yet in the womb, he knew us while we're still even unformed. God knows you and loves you, beloved, specifically and uniquely. He designed you just for himself. I want you to know God loves you and knows you by your name. He's got a specific destiny and plan for your life. Be confident in that right now. You're in the womb of the Father's love. And then Moses was convinced of this, that God's favor was on him. Listen to what Moses said next. You have said to me, I have known you by name. And then Moses said, and you also said that I have found favor in your sight. Listen again. I have known you by name. And you have also found favor in my sight. I want you to know, God wants you to be convinced that his favor is on your life. Some of us are still trapped in a spirit of dread. We're trapped in a spirit of gloom. We're afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. We're afraid of the future. You know why? Because we're not confident that God's favor is on our life. We're not confident that goodness and mercy are going to follow us all the days of our life. We're not confident that God has a good plan for us. We're not confident that we exist in the protection of his love. You and I need to believe, beloved, that his favor is on our life. Right now, as a father to the church, I speak over you and decree and declare over you, God's favor is on your life. Listen to me. God loves you, and his favor, beloved child of God, is on your life. Listen to me again. God's favor, the Father's favor, is on your life. Receive it. Receive his shalom. Receive his love. Receive the knowledge of his favor. You know what Moses does? He said, Lord, help me to become more convinced of this. You have said it, Moses prayed. Help me to realize it more. So Moses continues in verse number 13. He says this, now therefore, I pray you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I might know you, that I might find favor in your sight. It's kind of interesting. First of all, Moses said, you have said to me that you know me and that you found favor in my sight. Now Moses is saying to the Lord, if I have found favor in your sight. So it's interesting that Moses knows that God already told him that his favor is on him, and yet Moses is asking for reassurance. Sometimes there's nothing wrong to ask the Father, to ask Jesus to be reassured. Remember the man prayed, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. So let's pray right now, even as Moses prayed, help me to know in a greater way, Father. Help me to know, Papa, in an even greater way, the abundance of your love and favor that's on my life. So, Father, right now in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for your love for your children. I want to thank you, Father God, that your favor is on the life of the beloved ones that Jesus died for. Father God, thank you that you sent your Son who gave us His precious blood so that we could inherit the kingdom of God. Jesus, I thank You that You said that through Your blood, not only would we receive forgiveness of sin, but that with Your forgiveness, Jesus, we would also, You said, freely inherit all things. So, Jesus, we want to thank You today that God said to us, if He did not spare His only begotten Son for us, will He not also with Him freely give us all things? We receive now, Jesus, the confidence of Your favor on our life. We are confident in Your love. Amen and amen. Thank You, Jesus, for saturating our hearts with the love of God. Moses said in Exodus 33:15, if Your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. This speaks of Moses' humility. Moses was not presumptuous. He said to the Father, if You don't go with me, if Your presence isn't going before me, let us not go. This, again, really tells us the type of attitude that Moses had, how he was afraid to get out there relying on his own strength. I wonder how many of us this speaks to today. I wonder how many of us are falling and failing, how we're making decisions that are resulting in failure, how we're taking actions that result in a lack of fruitfulness because we don't have the type of attitude and prayer life that Moses displayed when he said to the Father, Father, if You don't go with us, if Your presence doesn't go with us, I'm not going to go. But for some of us, instead of walking in that type of a posture, in that type of humility, many of us were walking what I'm calling presumptuously. We're not relying on the Father. We're not afraid of relying on our own strength. We're not afraid of relying on our own abilities. We just rush out there like a bulldog, like a bull in a china shop, doing all these things without doing it in a way that's humbly relying on the Father, without realizing that unless He blesses us, we're very vulnerable and in a place of danger. And so the second powerful prayer dynamic that I want to derive from Exodus 33 for us today, beloved ones, is that we need to come to a place of humility in our life that we recognize that unless God goes before us every day, unless we're relying Him to go before us every day, we're in a place of danger and putting ourselves in a posture of failing. In other words, we can't just get in our car every day on the road and just assume that everything's safe. We recognize that every time we get out on the road driving our car, we're relying on the protection of God. We don't just assume that things are going to go well for our family, but rather we assume that in dependency on God. We can be confident that we're safe. We can be confident that the Lord is blessing our family. We can be confident that the Lord is giving us wisdom. We can be confident that the Lord is leading us and guiding us. But before that, we have to put ourselves in the posture that Moses put his heart in when he said, unless You go with me, unless Your presence goes with me, I'm not going to go. So I want to ask you right now. See, the Bible says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing the soul from the spirit. And I wonder if right now this word that I'm preaching is cutting some of us between the division of soul and spirit, and you're recognizing that a lot of the life that you're leading is a life of self-sufficiency, that you haven't yet been brought to your knees like Moses was when he said, unless You go with me, I will not go. So if that's you right now, if you just recognize, Lord, I've been living in self-sufficiency, I've been living relying on myself, and because of it, I'm not being fruitful in my life. If you recognize that now, you know what I want to ask you to do? Let's just get on our knees, okay? And we're going to ask the Lord to help us and to forgive us and to sanctify us. So, Father, as we examine the great man of God, Moses, we can see, Lord, why You called him the humblest man on the earth. How he, Father God, didn't dare just walk presumptuously, just assuming that everything would go well, but he recognized that things would go well as You went before him. And Father, we repent right now for being self-sufficient, for being self-reliant, for walking in presumption and for assuming without starting each day, depending on You, humbling ourselves before You, asking You to lead us and guide us, being led by Your Spirit. Father God, we want to be like Moses right now. We ask You to bring our hearts into this posture of humility so that we can experience, Father God, the type of blessing and increase that we see was on Moses' life as you used him to lead forward this great army of God from the promised land. Father, thank you for this great example, and we take it to heart in Jesus' name. You see, beloved ones, the Bible tells us that the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, was written for us upon whom the end of the ages has come. Moses' life and his example, beloved, was written for you and I. There's much that we can learn from this today. Well, as we continue, we get to the close of Moses' prayer, and he finally says to the Lord in verse number 18, "Show me your glory." Show me your glory. What an awesome prayer. Isn't it an awesome thing to know that you can experience and I can experience the glory of God? Did you know that Jesus prayed for us, that the glory that he had with the Father we would experience? That Jesus said the glory that's his, he's imparted to you, that it's God's purpose for you to dwell with him forever and ever in his glory? The Bible says, "Whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he foreknew, he called. Whom he called, he justified." Get this now. "And whom he justified," get it now, "he glorified." Your destiny and my destiny is one of glory. But beyond that, God is the glorious one. And as we seek his face for him, as we keep knocking, as we keep asking, as we keep seeking, and as we pray what Moses prayed, "Father God, Lord Jesus, show me your glory. Reveal your glory to me. Impart your glory to me. Let me see how beautiful you are. Let me see your power. Let me know your divine intelligence. Let me experience your divine creativity within me. Let me know your genius, Lord. Show me how marvelous you are. Show me how wondrous you are. Oh God, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Reveal yourself to me. Pour forth your spirit upon me. Pour forth your love on me. Pour forth your joy on me. Pour forth your power on me. Oh God, I want to discover you. Jesus, you said if I would knock, you'd open the door. If I would seek, I'd find. If I would ask, I'd receive. So Father God, thank you that you love me. And I pray now what Moses prayed. Father, show me your glory. Thank you, Jesus, for purchasing this for me by your own blood. And now I ask and I seek and I knock. Show me your glory. Show me your glory. Show me your glory, Father God. Thank you. I believe I'm receiving it, and then you're unfolding it to me in Jesus' name and for Jesus' fame. God bless you, beloved one. You know what? I never decided that I was going to be a pastor or a messianic rabbi. My ministry is simply an overflow of my own walk with God. In fact, when I did decide to pursue biblical education, the biggest thing that I was desiring was to get a hold of God for myself. And what happened is the Lord raised me up because my overflow has become the ministry to you. In other words, my ministry is an overflow of my own walk with God. But now that the Lord has raised me up to preach the gospel all over the world, both through television and on-the-ground crusades, I need your financial help because without you, beloved ones, I can't do it. I want you to know when you sow into this ministry, become a partner with us, you're going to have a reward for all the souls that are being changed through this ministry. So if the Holy Spirit's leading you, I just encourage you, be obedient immediately, and you're going to be blessed for it when Jesus returns. Thank you and shalom.
Here is how you can partner with us. Send your tax-deductible gift to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, P.O. Box 777, Blissfield, Michigan 49228. To make a credit card donation, call 1-800-777-7835. 1-800-777-7835. To donate securely online, go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. To show our appreciation, we will send you an audio CD of Rabbi Schneider's Message of the Month, as well as our most recent newsletter. To learn more about this ministry and for more information about Rabbi Schneider's rich spiritual resources or messianic music by Joshua James, go to discoveringthejewishjesus.com.
If you have a testimony of how the Lord has used Discovering the Jewish Jesus to change your life, we invite you to share it with us. Visit us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com and click on the testimonies link to share your personal testimony.
I'm currently serving jail time. Around 2 years ago, I repented to Jesus for my life of sin. 4 months ago, I received your teaching on how unleavened bread is a metaphor for sin. You taught how we should remove leaven from our lives. This moved me so much that late one night, the Lord called me to confess crimes of my past to the authorities. I may be in prison today, but I am the Lord's free man. Thank you for your teaching. Philip from South Australia.
Beloved, it's because of your prayers and your financial support that thousands of lives are being transformed around the world. In supporting Discovering the Jewish Jesus, you become a partner with God in building His eternal kingdom. Thank you, and may the Lord pour back into your life as you partner together with us.
Beloved, as we come to the end of the broadcast, I'd like to bless you. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 22 through 27, the Lord actually tells Aaron and Moses to speak these specific words that I'm going to speak over you now to His people. And the Lord said, when these words are spoken over my people, I'm going to place my name on them and bless them. So I want to encourage you now to lift your hands and receive the blessing of God. Yavarecheche Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Eilecha Vichunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Eilecha Ve'asem lecha shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift you up with His countenance, and the Lord will give you His children His peace.
Truth and power to make it through your day? Connect with Rabbi Schneider on Facebook and Twitter 24/7. Keep up to date on our events, crusades, new resources, and much more. Visit twitter.com/Rabbi Schneider or visit Facebook and search for Discovering the Jewish Jesus.